South Africa is grappling with the recession right now, but a new automotive code of conduct could lead the way in showing how the country could actually create stronger, more long-term inclusive growth, in particular supporting SMEs. Almost 1 year ago to the day, the Competition Commission published an historic first draft of the new code of conduct for the South African automotive industry. And ordinarily, a development like that would be easily overlooked. But this code of conduct could potentially usher in groundbreaking changes for players in the automotive aftermarket, South African car owners, and even the broader economy. Well, to find out more, I'm joined now by Willem Ho, who is the CEO of the South African auto parts and glass specialist Auto Boys. Willem, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Michael.
You were born in the US, now living happily in South Africa, and you transitioned actually from a top career in investment banking. You were with the likes of Deutsche Bank and Merrill, to shake up the country's auto parts and glass markets. Just share how you went from the world of high finance to second-hand car salesman of sorts.
It was quite a change. You know, I think finance is a great career, but after 7 or 8 years, basically moving back and forth between London and Johannesburg, and my wife became pregnant, I thought it was time to settle down. My brother had a business here called Grandmark International, and I joined that business. And yeah, it was quite a change, but we managed to do some really great things with Grandmark. So here we are now, 15 years later.
And last year, we saw African Rainbow Capital, ARC, actually pick up a 51% stake in Auto Boys. So you're the country's first black-owned national glass and collision parts provider. And you're also the vice chairman of Right to Repair South Africa, which is a non-profit. And we'll come to that. Now, anyone who's ever had an accident will know that you're typically locked into using a vehicle manufacturer's repair shop and their parts because of the embedded motor or service plans and the warranties. We are powerless when it comes to choosing where our vehicles can be serviced and maintained because of that. How does the proposed code of conduct change this?
Right. So that's where Right to Repair, that's what Right to Repair is all about. So we've engaged with the Competition Commission. We've given them our views. And the whole point of, you know, the Right to Repair is to advocate for free competition and freedom of customer choice. So part of the mechanisms that the motor manufacturers use to lock you in is quite rightly, as you said, the extended service plan, extended warranty. Now, the Right to Repair advocates that the consumer has a choice to say, we want to get our car repaired here, and they're able to do so using the parts that they choose without voiding the warranty. So, you know, we think it's really important. We also understand, you know, the economic and political challenges here. We are in a recession, and, you know, free competition is always a very strong mechanism to make sure that the consumer gets a fairer price.
And it's not like we're asking for something that's unusual globally. What do we see in the rest of the world?
Okay, so South Africa is quite unique in that the motor plan and is embedded. So the consumers here, they don't have a choice. Okay, so that's another thing that we advocate for in terms of transparency. You know, if a motorist wants to purchase a motor plan, that's great, and that's absolutely up to them. But what we're saying is, you know, give us a choice and be transparent about it. And let's be clear in terms of how much this costs. Like I said, South Africa is unique. We think that the consumer is obviously disadvantaged. And we're saying, well, let's just be transparent about it. And so I think, you know, South Africa will slowly follow global norms. And we hope that's the case.
Well, we must be advocating for transparency and for freedom to choose. And that's really what the Right to Repair is all about. I see you funded, or should I say founded, by the Motor Industry Workshop Association. So who exactly do you represent here in the whole conversation?
Well, I think most importantly we represent consumers, okay? And I think we also represent South Africans as a whole. South Africa, as you probably know, is the World Bank said that we are the most unequal society in the world. And by supporting things like the Right to Repair, which supports small and medium enterprises, we really are saying that, you know, the consumer will have a right to choose. This will support small and medium enterprises, and small and medium enterprises are absolutely critical to the, you know, financial health of any economy. We have a huge problem already with unemployment in South Africa. And, you know, part of the Competition's Commission's sort of mandate is to reduce concentration. Okay, so again, that really speaks to the Right to Repair. We really want to help reduce concentration in the market, and that is probably another angle. South Africa has a transformational angle that I think is super, super important. Okay, so we represent the consumer, the right to choose. We represent small and medium enterprises, and we really stand for a fairer economy and a freer economy.
So what do the new codes have to say on the issue of transformation? Because the issue has travelled a long way since those first hearings. We saw a proposed draft of the code receive a final round of feedback and submissions on the 11th of September, so just a couple of weeks ago. What does this latest draft contain?
Well, it's very, very strong from a transformational perspective, and I think that's right. Okay, so we understand that the South African economy specifically has a high level of concentration in a lot of industries, not just the automotive industry. So there's a lot of things in the code in terms of supporting small and medium enterprises, supporting the historically disadvantaged, supporting their access into the market, supporting how work is distributed in a fairer way. And a lot of these things have a transformational undertone, which we think is really, really important in the market.
Now, the OEMs, we know the motor industry is a highly subsidized industry in terms of manufacturing in South Africa. We're currently awaiting the next iteration of what was the Motor Industry Development Program back in the mid-90s. This will map out the future direction of the industry and investment into it over the next 15 years. Surely the OEMs here and the brands would say, well, in order to protect our investment and interests, we're looking for some form of a quid pro quo from the government. What sort of pushback have you seen from the original equipment manufacturers and the brands in this conversation?
Right. Listen, I think, if this is handled right, it can be a win-win for everybody. There's lots of things here. There's lots of things that go into this. So there's no doubt that people will want to protect entrenched interests. And there's a high degree of concentration in the space in terms of the new vehicle market, repair for new vehicles. All right. So I have no doubt that there will be pushback. What I can say is that as a business leader, I am sure that there is a win-win scenario here. All right. Reducing economic concentration is a necessity for South Africa to move forward. Okay. So, we've heard some encouraging noises from some OEMs. I think some OEMs will also be completely against this. So the codes haven't been signed yet. I'm sure they're busy going through it and trying to see what works and what doesn't work for them. And what I would say is that as a business leader, I think we all have a social contract to ensure that the South African economy and the South African people really, the economy transforms in a way that's representative of, the ownership profiles and making sure that we reduce economic concentration. And I think that's really, really important because according to the World Bank, the level of inequality really starts constraining growth in an economy like ours. So we'll see what happens. We'll see which of the OEMs, this is a voluntary code, hasn't been signed yet. So we'll see which one of those guys actually come on board and sign. But I would really advocate that these guys play their part in terms of the future of this economy.
As a voluntary code, how is it going to be monitored?
Yeah, listen, the devil's always in the detail and in the implementation. Okay, so I don't know how much you know about this history, but Australia also had a voluntary code a few years back in terms of the motor industry. Okay, so I think after 4 to 5 years, they realized that voluntary actually didn't work, and they made it mandatory. Okay, so I think that's kind of where groups like us come in, the right to repair. We will make sure that we monitor. People sign onto these codes, and they really should have an obligation to follow through. And, we'll be there to really try to make sure that this happens. This shouldn't be a paper tiger.
Phil Umho, CEO of Auto Boys and Vice Chairman of Right to Repair South Africa, talking about how we could open up a very concentrated aftermarket industry in the more automotive sector here in South Africa. We'll have to wait and see how the draft eventually comes into final gazetted form before we can make any conclusions. But it does look set to shake up the afterparts market here in South Africa.